Welcome, baseball family. This week, we're going to talk good news, we're going to talk bad news, and we're going to talk interesting news right now.
9 Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome back, baseball family, to another episode. I'm Brig, and I am a co-host. My partner in crime here, Brad, he's not here right now. Nope, he's a little bit sick, and we wish him the best as he recovers from being under the weather. I don't know how the weather could get any better where he's at, but it's getting better where I'm at in South Carolina. And I hope that if you're suffering from the cold, that it ends soon for you as well, because nobody has time for that. I'm sick of it. We're going to move on because spring training is very nearly complete, which brings me to my public service and baseball family. Opening day is 16 days away from today. 16 days. For you who have an abacus in your back pocket, that is just over 2 weeks, exactly 2 days over 2 weeks. And we're really excited to get to the baseball season. I mean, I know it should go without saying, but it doesn't. So, 16 days away from today. And just before we dive into all the news that's going on, monthly newsletter, it's going to begin at the beginning of the season, which is, again, 16 days away. What in the newsletter is going to be short snippets of all the things that we talk about on the show, but with, like, additional detail, additional thoughts and feelings, and maybe some analysis and things like that about the topics that we share, what's going on. We're also going to give you sneak peeks into what's coming up and some of the things that we have planned. Oh, and we have future partnerships. We'll bring you into those. We'll let you know about discount codes and giveaways and all kinds of things like that. It'll be a first, sort of the first access. In addition, our Baseball Together VIP group, which is on Facebook, and it's another great way to get a hold of us. So you can click the link in the doobly-doo to sign up for our newsletter. And you can go to baseballtogether.com and drop us a line there. Don't forget, before we get any further into this, to like and subscribe to the show. Go ahead and ring the bell. To subscribe, make sure you're not missing any of the content that we put out. We're putting out videos every day. We've got shorts and mid-range stuff and big long shows like this one. So and on Thursdays, coming up during the season on Thursdays, we're going to be doing live broadcasts, and those are a riot. They're so much fun, and we want you there with us so that you can interact with us, and we'll do live Q&A and all kinds of things like that. So that'll be Thursday nights. Stay tuned for more information. All right, let's jump into the news dump, because I started looking at all of the information available just in the last 7 days since we recorded our last episode. And there's just a gobs of information. So I had to curate. Here's what I got. Okay, this is what's going on. First and foremost, Gerrit Cole is having trouble recovering from pitching sessions, both bullpen and live pitching training outings. Now, because of that, it's just not right. And Gerrit Cole is a master craftsman, right? The dude knows what he's, and he knows his body better than anyone else. So if Gerrit Cole is saying something is wrong, you got to believe something's wrong. Basically, what he said was his arm feels like mid-esque after maybe having a 100 pitch outing. He's right now. Obviously, 2 weeks and change before the beginning of the season, that's not what you want to hear. Be near the opposite of what you want to hear. And as a Yankees fan myself, I am upset about this information. Most of the leagues begin because let's be honest, if Gerrit Cole is out, then the Yankees season starts to look really interesting and really And if Garrett Cole is out, the rest of the league starts to have or pretty good feelings about their what it's going to be like facing the Yankees. Sorry, I got really distracted there for a second. So anyway, there's no clear reason something is happening. He had an MRI. We don't have any information about what was found in the MRI or what, you know, what they discovered or didn't discover for that matter. Oh, and this I think is interesting in and of itself is that they seek a second opinion following the MRI. Again, we don't know what that means, but as far as Garrett Cole and his arm, what we do know is that Carlos Rodon, Nestor Cortez, they have, right? They're like the two guys that I'm going to rely on now as a Yankees fan to step up. I think it's a little bit foolish for us to sit around and hope Marcus Stroman comes in and brings more magic to the way we're hoping Garrett Cole would have and have every reason to expect Garrett Cole would have if he's in shape. He's not hurt. So I'm not sitting around holding my breath for Stroman to slide into that spot, but I do expect Rodon and Nasty Nestor to be able to step up and be in those big spots. So the problem was trading for Juan Soto, we dumped a ton of pitching prospects, like the top two or three that we had. And so, yeah, I mean, which is fine. Like I still think it's a good idea, but this is an untimely development. Speaking of which, if that wasn't bad enough, the Yankees have just announced that Aaron Judge left a game early. And we're hoping it's only precautionary. Again, if you're a Yankees fan, this is like the greatest news ever, right? If you are a Yankees fan like me, this is really bad news. We've got two superstars. We've got two of the most capable athletes on the team are looking uncertain as of this very moment. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Aaron Boone described Aaron Judge's situation as being mid-spring beat up, which in one respect speaks for itself. We kind of can intuit what that means. But on the other hand, that what are you trying to say? That seems like such media speak to me. Just totally placating, patting us on the head, telling us to look the other direction when he probably has no idea what this means. Again, just like Garrett Cole, Aaron Judge is a fine-tuned machine. Dude knows exactly what's going on, and if he feels funky, he's going to call it out and get it fixed. That's the right answer, okay? Now, the problem with both of these situations for the Yankees is that they are already at the 110% luxury tax threshold, which means basically that if they're going to get anybody in, pull anybody in that's not already a part of the organization, they're basically going to pay double for that player, whether it's somebody on the mound or somebody in the field. Fortunately, the acquisitions of Soto and Alex Verdugo make position player decisions much easier to handle. So, and depending on what we see out of this new and improved Giancarlo Stanton, you know, who knows? We could see some stuff happen. So let's get into some other news. This is just kind of an injury news dump, if you highlight some of the things that have already happened that don't affect what we've already talked about. Lucas is needing to undergo right elbow surgery. We don't know if it's going to be what do they call it when it's not all the way Tommy John? Bracing, I think, a brace. Or if it's going to actually need to go all the way to Tommy John. Tommy John is in the cards, though. Should the need arise, the surgeon is going to wait to see what information they glean once they've gone in and are able to look at how extensive the damage is in Giolito's UCL and in his elbow. So, hopes and prayers, right? Look, we're hoping that this does not happen. This is terrible timing for the Red Sox in so many ways. And I say that with all the love, but let's hope the guy does not need a full-blown Tommy John. but it's possible. And Justin Verlander is going to spend 2024 opening day on the injured list. Corey Seager, he had surgery for sports hernia, and he's taking light swings. So at this point, it, you know, his recovery is not imminent necessarily. Ronald Acuna Jr. has not played a single game since February 29th, but they're saying he could be back soonish. Maybe, we hope, kind of. Please. Again, a huge blow to the league. Huge blow for the Braves. Let's hope that it is nothing, that there's no actual meniscus tear, and that if it is, it's manageable and something he can play through. We do not – what baseball needs is Ronald Jr. performing like he did last year and improving on the MVP performance put on last year. I mean, that was just otherworldly. So we're hoping for that. Jackson Coar needs Tommy John surgery. It's terrible. Nick Lodolo made his first appearance in spring training with the Reds. He threw two perfect innings and got a strikeout, which is very exciting. Aldo Peraza is out 6 to 8 weeks with subscapular strain in his shoulder. Jason Dominguez has increased his throwing to 75 feet and is expected to take swings from both sides of the plate as today. So that's really exciting. Okay, that's your injury news. Those are some of the highlights from around the league. Or lowlights? I don't know what them. But that's the news. Okay. Let's get to some bad news. Novelli Marte, that's this guy I've got pictured here. He decided to take enhancing drugs, and he has since been suspended. This is his first infraction, so he's going to miss the first 80 games of the 2024. He tested positive bone, I guess is how you pronounce it. It's a performance-enhancing drug. If you care to know, the suspension was without pay, if you didn't already know that. And this guy, too, he's an infielder, specifically and primarily plays third base for the and he's come up through their organization relatively quickly. Like I said, he's 22. He showed us his debut 35 games last year with Cincinnati, and he hit three homers and was admirable, serviceable in field during those 35 games. So obviously they've got such young, strong talent, especially in their infield over in Cincinnati, that this is just terrible. I don't know. I'll get to that in a minute, but obviously the Cincinnati Reds have come out and said, we don't condone this. We're totally back to play with the suspension. This is totally wrong, etc. They told the party to play the hometown song. So, unfortunately, coming into the 2024 season, he has been ranked as high as 35th overall in MLB's top 100 prospects lists, just depending on where you get that, your prospect list. But I don't even think that's how high he is on MLB. It doesn't matter. He's up there. So remember Jaime Candelario from Detroit and then Chicago and then with Washington last season, which for me is kind of where I was like, oh, this Candelario, yeah, third base. Okay, well, he's, because of this PED suspension, Candelario is going to be the Reds' third baseman to start opening day. I'll know he's serviceable at the plate. He has some interesting defensive outings, but he's absolutely serviceable as a bat. He's older. I think he's 31, something. I can't remember. He's going to do a fine job, and it's going to anchor with his presence some of this year. I don't think he's going to be certainly as electric as this 22-year-old outstanding third baseman just got popped for PEDs. So, the takeaway here, ladies and gentle people, is don't be stupid. Don't. The end. Stay in school. Don't do drugs, etc. Okay. We're going to move on. Joey Votto has a job. ladies and gentlemen. And it's really exciting because he really, really needed one. And we all really wanted him to have one. There's so much fun been going around social media about Joey Votto not having a job and where is he going to land and what's this going to happen. Now, he signed a minor league deal with the Toronto Blue Jays. And this is cool for a couple of reasons, but specifically because he's from Toronto. And let me give you a little insight into this. This is the photograph that was on Twitter or X or whatever you decide to call it of Joey Votto wearing an I'm a Little Blue Jay bib as a baby. Check that out. It does not get any better than that. Joey Votto has returned town team. He is going to be a minor league system, but basically here's what happened. This is so cool. And we called for this months ago. Brad and I did. We said, gosh, just sign him in Toronto, man. Talk about hometown. Like the long on this is going to be insane. And here we go. It's starting to be just a terrific thing. So the story goes, and this is as far as I can tell, called the Blue Jays general manager, Ross Atkins, Joey Votto did. And he basically just requested a non-roster invitation to spring training. He's like, come on, man. Just can't let it go, is what he said. I just can't give it. I can't let it go. So the guy's like, sure, yeah, I'm a spring training. So he comes spring training. He gets a deal, okay? Humble. Because Joey Votto's the man. If you don't know about Joey, whip smart and super funny and witty, and he's like this incredible chess player. So anyway, apparently, he is being very humble. Like he's considering himself a minor leaguer, and he's planning on working in the system. He shouldn't presume anything. They gave me a minor league deal. I'm sit in the minor leagues and work my way up just like I used to have to, right? Just like he had to, which was 17 years ago, by the way, baseball family. So this guy, Joey Votto, is going to consider himself a minor despite a career 294 batting average, 356 home runs, National League MVP, 6 All-Star appearances in 17 years with the Cincinnati Reds. He's going to start over in the minor leagues. Well, not start over, but you know what I mean. He's going to work his way up. And this is hilarious. He said, I may stink, but I doubt it. This is so good. I just want him to go back to playing chess after this season. Like, come back, get a couple of knocks, wave to the crowd, and then go back and play chess and ride off into the Canadian sunset. That's what we want for you. Baseball families, take a quick break, and I'm going to tell you that the best way to support the show, other than liking and subscribing and sharing us with your friends, is to jump onto Patreon. Patreon.com, search Baseball Together. We have 5 tiers of support. If you like what we're doing here, jump over there. We have our support tier, a 5, a 10, a 15, and a whopping $500 support tier. Each of them comes with their own perks, their own little goodie bags and things like that. Obviously is my favorite, but there's some stuff in there that we really want you to take us up on. Specifically, well, I won't give it away, but you got to go check it out. Go to patreon.com, search Baseball Together. And if you're able to and you like what we're doing, we have some really exciting projects coming up. I had a really, really interesting phone call with a really big company the other day, and I don't want to give too much away, but happening. So, we would love to have your support because it's time to start giving back to the community. That's what we're doing next. That's a little tease. That's what we call a tease for you. That's what Brad would say. That's what we call a tease. So let's move on back to some bad news. Let's talk about our favorite evil angel. Okay. Angel Hernandez. He's back, and you just got to ask. Okay. Cause he's not going anywhere. Apparently, can't get this guy out of there fast enough. Doesn't seem like anybody knows how. The department in the umpires really either really good at their job or really bad at. I don't know which it is. So today in spring training, Lance Lynn got ejected. So did Ollie Mall. They got ejected. Some banter that turned to chirping, which I guess bothered Angel Hernandez. And rightly so. I mean, strikes. But Angel Hernandez is a fiend, okay? He's a fiend. And he just does whatever he wants, and he calls and strikes wherever he wants to. It's not always consistent, and it's certainly not always accurate. And, you know, there's where you have it, okay? That's just one man's humble opinion. So at one point, after Lynn was arguing balls and strikes, Hernandez to get moving, move quicker, long on the mound. And Lance Lynn, there's still 5 seconds on the pitch clock. I'll go when I'm ready. I'll get to it. Leave me alone. That's what it's there for. I have this much. Not have to, nor shall I move later. Then the regulation is giving me a chance to right? The end, Angel. Well, Hernandez, and so at the earliest opportunity, Angel Hernandez kicked Lance Lynn out of the ballgame. Now, Lance Lynn only had pitch in what he was set to pitch that day out of the three, I think. So Lance Lynn scurries off to the bullpen. He's going to put in that last few and get the work in, right? Out. Oh, no. Angel Hernandez finds out about it, and he stops the game. He stops everything in the game, signals to the bullpen, and tells Lance, butt out of there. Because if we didn't know you before, Angel, we do now. It's ridiculous. So they left, and at the very end, it was awesome. If you haven't seen the video, go find it. Lynn is just obviously upset, but he raises his cap to the fan really slowly, by the way, and they all cheer for him and give him, you know, like, we're all fantastic. Just great. All right, let's jump into this. Mookie Betts. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not know by now that Mookie Betts is basically the greatest athlete that I've ever heard of, who can do just about anything, then you need to figure it out. You need to start learning more about Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts has not, at his own word, has not played shortstop every day since he was 18 years old until now. Okay. He has been named the shortstop for the Dodgers. They're going to move Gavin Lux over to second base. They're just going to switch places. Mookie Betts was at second base. Now he's going to move to shortstop. Gavin has been struggling in the six hole all spring long. The Dodgers moved Betts from second to short. Don't forget, they moved him from the outfield to second base last season as well. He spent all his time in Boston in the outfield and was electric, to say the least. Now, Mookie Betts is 10 years old. Like I said, he's easily one of the most athletic people in the world. And in the last 1,265 MLB games that Mookie Betts has played in, only 16 of them have been at the shortstop position. And all of those 16 appearances came last season with the Dodgers. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I've already seen an error. It was an interference call. But I think he can do it. I really do believe that he can do it. Obviously, the Dodgers believe he can do it. There's no reason for me to believe otherwise. But I have a lot of faith as a baseball fan in what Mookie Betts can do. And to Gavin Lux's defense, they don't want to lose his bat in the lineup. So they're moving him to second base. You know, Dave Roberts is going to take a little bit of pressure off him, and they're going to give him an opportunity to keep his bat in the lineup, which I think is a great choice. Honestly, and there is less pressure playing second base. So it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. If you're not already excited to watch Dodger games this year, and obviously next year when Ohtani's back to pitching and not just playing DH, whoo, man. This is going to be a terrific Dodgers team through the regular season. I don't know what will happen in the postseason, but the regular season will be a haul, and they're going to tear right through it. It's going to be like a hot knife through butter, honestly. All right, let's move to another. Blake Snell still doesn't have a job. And nobody knows why, but he has recently expressed interest in one team in particular. And by interest, he has gone on the record saying that the quote is strong preference. He has a strong preference for playing with the Angels. And I think I can speak for most of us when I say, because this makes almost no sense to me. Like, the dude, what are you going to just, you're just going to go collect a paycheck and you're going to hang out in Anaheim. And the only thing I can make sense of is that it's not that far away from San Diego. You get to stay on the West Coast where it's warm. Maybe there's some family and stuff. I know he's a West Coast guy. I think he's from Seattle or Pacific Northwest somewhere. But like, is that it, man? Do you just want to get as much money as possible to stay in as warm a weather as possible? You want to be a big fish in a small pond? Like, what about the Angels that's so appealing? It'll be really interesting to see if that's what's going on. So Shohei Ohtani played for the Dodgers last year and pitched, and that team was ranked like 16th or 18th or something like that in ERA across the entire league. Okay. So you're telling me you're going to move Shohei Ohtani out of that starting pitching rotation, and it's not going to get better, right? Obviously the situation worsens without Ohtani. So plug Blake Snell into that spot. Blake Snell is not going to improve the Angels pitching rotation that much to replace with Ohtani. It's just not the same, in my opinion. It's just not the same. Now, I know he's a Cy Young winner. I got it. I know. But I still don't think he's bringing certainly what he used to, and certainly not what Ohtani's been bringing. He does add a left-handed arm to the Angels pitching staff, which is great. Right, there are already there, but like Reed Detmers, Patrick Sandoval, but those guys, you add Blake Snell to that, and I'm not sure it's a net positive for the Angels, but I'm also sitting here thinking, maybe anything's a net positive for the Angels right now. You get a former Cy Young guy in there, they'll take with it what they can get. And if he's motivated to go play for the Angels, then that's better, right? Now, is he motivated because the back channel dealing that we don't see and hear about is drawing him that direction? Or is that where he's always wanted to be in the first place? That's why he turned New York down. Is it always about the money and the length of the deal? I don't know. But I would not be surprised if Blake Snell ends up in Anaheim and then wallows into some form of mediocrity and we forget all about him. He finishes out the rest of his career kind of middle of the road, and then he leaves and he doesn't work that hard, and the Anthony Rendon thing, and he's like, I don't like playing baseball and it's my day job and whatever. And you know, I don't know. Again, it's all total speculation, but it'll be to see up in Anaheim if that's kind of what happens. He's on already, and maybe he's afraid of the cold. I don't know. It's fascinating. Baseball family, what do you think? Blake, good or bad? Get in the comments and let us know. I want to know. Have you seen the Las Vegas baseball stadium rant? because it is literally, okay. If you can see this, I'm going to make bigger for you. This is just crazy. This is what they want us to believe is going to happen if the A's move to Las Vegas. Look at this thing. That Jumbotron, I don't know if we can even call it a Jumbotron because it appears to be projected onto the stadium ceiling that tapers in coming one of the walls. This thing is 18,000 square feet. That would easily be the biggest one in Major League Baseball. The stadium is supposed to, the renderings that we're seeing, okay, show a projected 33,000 seats. This is supposed to open in 2028 if huge if this goes through. Now, the exterior facade, if you will, looks an awful lot like another famous landmark on the other side of the world in Sydney. And that comment has come up a lot as these photos have come out. But if you can see, I'm going to go back to here, that outer wall in left and left center field, that outer wall is called cable net glass. That affords them the ability to have it secure while also as possible. And it's this big, you know, science, okay? Science. So this would be the largest cable net glass window in the world. And roof, go back to this, has five overlapping arches create this sort of clamshell appearance. Or conch shell. I guess it would be more of a conch shell. But that's what's going on. And ultimately, everything is built to let in as much light as possible, give everybody a view of the Las Vegas Strip, keep the heat out, honestly, and provide as much shade as possible for the people both playing but also viewing. Now, the Major League Baseball owners unanimously voted to approve the relocation, okay? Nevada State Education Association, however, is up in arms over the idea that these might, that the money used to build this, or part of the money used to build this facility, would come from education in the state. They're asking for $380 million to come out of the education budget to help build a major league ballpark. Now, I don't know about you, but that does not add up to me. I don't want to get political because that's not what we're about on this show, but that does not add up that you're going to use education funding. It probably happens all over the place. It happens all the time, and that's probably a sign of some ignorance. It just doesn't, it's not a good look. It's not a good look. So the Nevada State Education Association is not putting up with it. The Las Vegas mayor, Carolyn Goodman, she has now gone on the record. She says they're better off staying in Oakland. And Oakland mayor does not think the move will actually happen. Okay. Whatever happens between Oakland and Vegas is one thing. The other thing that's going on is we still don't know where the A's are going to play between 2025 and 2027 still remain massive question marks in location and then everything else that comes with that, the economics of it, right? Talk about marketing, talking about filling seats because you got to sell tickets. It doesn't matter if you're in Sacramento. Doesn't matter if you're in Oakland. Doesn't matter if you're in Salt Lake City. Doesn't matter. You got to sell seats, right? It still has to be a profitable enterprise. Nobody knows anything right now, which for the profitability of said enterprise. It's crazy. All right, I got two more things for you, and then we'll be done with this week's episode. Oh, here's another view of the of that cable glass I was telling you about. Look at that. Isn't that just crazy? It looks beautiful. And to be fair, this would be a spectacle. This would be a must bucket list travel destination for all baseball people, and likely more than just people. The architecture alone, I gotta see this. So I hope they build it. I really do. All right. Moving on. That, my friends, is Trevor Bauer. Okay. Trevor Bauer found out that the Asian Breeze, which is a barnstorming team from Japan, I believe they're from Japan, the Asian Breeze play against the Dodgers minor league system. Some prospects coming through spring training, you know. But it's a pay-to-play barnstorming team. So Trevor Bauer paid to be on this Asian barnstorming team. Just so that he could get to the Cactus League and pitch against the Dodgers. Now, if that's not moxie, I don't know what is. But it gets even better. He put up over 3 innings pitched. His velocity reached 99 miles per hour on the radar gun. And he recorded a number of strikeouts. Like, he put on a clinic. And we can't forget that Bauer's a Cy Young winner, okay? And in last season with the Yokohama Bay Stars in Japan, he threw 2.59 ERA across 156 and two-thirds innings. Dude still got it, man. A 2.59 ERA over 56 and two-thirds innings out of an off season just riddled with turmoil, and he's pumping the plate. Are you kidding me? Now, listen, we have said it a million times before. Sign the man. Somebody sign him. And we've had some terrific come through on our social media platforms, on Instagram, a little bit on Facebook, but especially here on YouTube. You guys have been sounding off on where it makes sense for him to play. Was a great idea that it didn't come from us. But you guys pay attention. Here's the tragic part. Apparently not a single MLB scout to attend his performance. Athletic. There was nobody in attendance that cared one way or the other, that nobody was looking. And this is ridiculous because the Asian Breeze, their whole thing is come play for us. We're going to set these exhibition games. We want you to get noticed by Major League Baseball. That's what they're doing. That's their agenda as this barnstorming team. So are you telling me that nobody else in that rotation, nobody else in that was worth looking at? Or are you just all being so petty that you cannot stand the sight of Trevor Bauer that you're going to look past the other potential talent on that field? That's ridiculous. I'm really upset about all this. Honestly. So even though Major League Baseball didn't show up, the entire Major League Baseball social media complex was there. Look at all the camera crews and all the, it's all over social media, and rightly so. Free this dude. I'm done. I need Trevor Bauer playing baseball again in the bigs. All right, last thing, baseball family. Let's JD Davis and the San Francisco Giants, because what has gone on here is a little bit complicated, but also really, really interesting. So the San Francisco Giants, we all know, signed Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman is an outstanding third baseman. But his presence on the roster basically made JD Davis's presence on the roster. I hate to say that, but that's the way it's looked, okay? And that's the way it's being handled by the San Francisco Giants. JD Davis becomes a backup to Matt Chapman. I think that's totally fair. The drama for me comes in how the Giants handled the deal. So they released J.D. Davis unconditionally like 30 minutes ago. I'm recording this. Okay, maybe an hour ago at this point. The Giants said that before they did that, they tried to trade J.D. Davis, but nobody would take him. Okay, nobody. Now, that's debatable. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I don't know. There are other infielders in the free agent market still remaining unsigned. So, you know, that's very likely the case. However, J.D. Davis, the San Francisco Giants, went to an arbitration hearing. And the reason they went to an arbitration hearing, according to Davis and his camp, and his agent is Matt Hannaford. And Matt Hannaford told The Athletic that the Giants waited till 1 hour before the exchange deadline to make their offer pre-arbitration hearings, right? So there's a deadline. You're going to make your offer. And then if you can't agree, you got to go to arbitration hearings. Essentially, what the accusation from Davis' agent is that the Giants made their one and only offer 1 hour before the deadline and didn't really give him any room to wiggle. They are obviously saying, no, 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 that's not what happened. I don't know. Let's say for a moment that that's what happened, that the Giants came through, they did him a little dirty, gave him no time. Okay, so they go to an arbitration, and the arbitration mediator, right, the adjudicator, sided with J.D. Davis and said, no, sorry, you got to pay this guy what he's asking for, which is a huge triumph for J.D. Davis and any player that says, no, I'm worth this, and this is what I deserve, and then they're deemed in the right, and they get what they deserve. I love that. However, because he won the arbitration hearing, the Giants owed Davis $6.9 million this year. But now that they've released him in a weird loophole, twist of fate situation, now they're on the hook for only $1.1 million, just about $1.1 million. That's nuts. You win an arbitration deal saying that you're worth $6.9 for the year. Okay? And you're under contract. And now your ownership can just say, nope, never mind. We're going to pay you for the year because we have to, but we're going to do it at a percentage of what we owed you before. We're going to go from 6.9 to 1.1, but you go ahead and play for whoever you want. You go ahead and go find another job. To me, the ins and outs of this must be like in the fine print, because I don't understand it. And if somebody does understand it better, I want you to jump in the comments and kind of break it down for me, because this to me feels atrocious. This feels like, not just is it, for me, this goes beyond, it's business. We're trying to run a business. Like, yeah, okay, I get it. Do the guy that dirty, okay? And again, it's okay that Matt Chapman is a better performer. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay that Matt Chapman was expensive. Got it. You want to free up some time or some financial spot? You want to free up some roster spot stuff? Got whatever. Fine. Like this. And anyway, so they kicked him out of spring camp, apparently. And he's now looking for another job. San Francisco doesn't care. Davis's numbers. Last season, he spent time at third base, first base, and DH. So he's versatile, and he's absolutely a capable defender. But his offense, he was 248 last year, 248, 325, 13, and homers, 23 doubles, 69 RBIs. Somebody somewhere needs a third baseman who can platoon around and maybe do a utility bat situation with the DH, capable first baseman, capable third baseman. Baseball family, I need to know, where do you think J.D. Davis lands? Do you think he wallows and flounders and doesn't find a job? Is he one of those guys that's going to wait around for the majority of the summer until an injury takes place or somebody needs some holes filled moving into the All-Star break. Like, I don't know what this means for JD Davis. Nobody can. All I know is this does not seem, like it'd be allowed at first blush. If I'm wrong, go ahead and educate me. Like I said, to be more educated, but I don't want to be wrong about this. I really want to be right about this. Anyway, baseball family, before I go, I have got to let you know that one thing that we ask our guests when they come on the show, and we love doing interviews, it's one of our favorite things. One of the things that we ask our guests about come on the show is their favorite flavor. It's around here. Brad's favorite is Hatch green chili, Hatch chili, and mine is Parmesan and pepper. They're both terrific flavors in a host of amazing flavors, cedary. And on the packaging, I used to have one right here the other day. I don't know. I must have finished it. But it says the best ever along the top of the packaging. That's how we feel. And we partnered with them proactively because we love them and we want to try them. And you can now get 10% off of your order by using code BTPOD at checkout. Again, that's 10% off of your order. You can go to ChinookCedary.com, get 10% off of your order using code BTPOP. And with that, baseball family, don't forget, like I said earlier, to like, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast anywhere you consume the podcast, because that's where we are. We're hanging out with you all the time. We're on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, plus any of the audio platforms that you prefer. Like and subscribe is the biggest thing. That's a huge deal. And if you like what we're doing, share it with your friends and invite them to our baseball family. And with that, we'll catch you next week.